Today we are going to talk about buttons.
Buttons. Like actual buttons or the buttons?
When you press somebody's buttons. So this
have to clarify.
Message is called Buttons, Dealing with Frustration.
I like it.
So this... This comes from two different things. Tuesday night at Celebrate Recovery, we just had a couple of people come, and so we did things differently, and we sat and talked. And the subject matter of buttons came up. People pressing your buttons. And Ronnie shared a story from our past. Ronnie and I, as we've shared with you before, we really struggled in our marriage. And he went to Pastor Joe Dover and was telling him how, you know, we were struggling. And he finally said, "She just pushes my buttons." And Joe looked at him, and I can just imagine the look on Joe's face when he said, because he's just very simple and dry and a man of few words when he gets down to the point. And he looked at him and he goes, "Why do you have buttons?" Ronnie couldn't answer that question. We never ask ourselves why we have buttons. We just know people push them, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had and one of the people who was in that discussion this week put on Facebook, "Why do I have buttons?" And put Ronnie and I on the post so we would see it. And I responded to her and I said, "You have buttons. People press your buttons because you're human."
I love that answer.
But a button is like a sore spot. If you've been cut or you've had surgery and you've got stitches, or you have sunburn, or you've got something, and what happens when somebody by accident touches that spot? You react, right? You jump, or you might say something ugly, or you might smack them, or you never know what you might do, but there is an impulse reaction, right, when somebody does that. So a button is something that tells us someone has touched a broken, hurting part of us. Okay? That's really, a button is not about the other person. Like Joe said, why do you have buttons? You have a button because there's something inside of you that's hurt, and they touched it. So that's where we're going to go today. Okay? So first of all, I want to know, what are things that frustrate you? What are things that frustrate you?
A little bit of everything.
Okay, a little bit of everything. That's actually a pretty accurate answer, but let me have some specifics.
Frustrate.
Money problems.
Money problems. Okay, very good. What else?
Too many people, close to you. Ooh. Not necessarily like this, but I mean like a lot of people, like concerts.
Yes. Okay, all right. So people in your personal space.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Chad, what about you?
I guess the biggest frustration I ever had was the fact that I got my face ripped open when I was 5 by a dog, and then people made the comment, this is the only thing that comes to mind right now, is people make the comment, you know, "I'll put another scar on the other side of your face to match that one." Stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it really frustrated me. And because of that, it created, before Christ, a bully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I wasn't going to put up with being talked to like that anymore. Mm-hmm. So I've heard that comment a few times in the past couple of weeks since then. So, you know, and I was just sitting there wondering, I thought, well, I kind of just blowed it off, but yet there's still that little kid side of it that's like, really?
Mm-hmm.
We're back here again, you know, but I'm not going to let that bother me. I'm done with it, you know.
All right, now that's a great point. We'll come back to that. Angie, what about you? What frustrates you? What are things that frustrate you?
Well, I have several things, but one thing is how people can be cruel.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think that they're not cruel, but then you realize that they are cruel.
Mm-hmm.
And then people that claim to be Christians, and then you see them in public and they act like they don't even know you.
Mm-hmm.
That really bothers me.
Okay, very good. Very good. So, Ronnie, what about you? You could just point a finger at me.
I'm still, you know, that's one of my hang-ups. I'm still learning, you know. what my buttons are. And, for me, I guess most of it's my physical ailments and things that happen when I get... that makes me so frustrated, which causes a chain effect of things in my life. And you know, frustration, you know, being the key thing that allows me to go off, you know, my trigger. And, you know, it's the hardest part is balance of control. You know, I know I've had control issues, so then you have to try to learn how to control that one thing, which makes it even more frustrating, and then it's a vicious cycle, you know. And so, you know, it's hard to even explain to people, you know, when you're hurting. And so, you know, that's it, I guess.
Okay, good, thank you. For me, I get frustrated when people get in the way of me completing a task. I'm at work and I have a list of things I need to do, like I'm supposed to invoice jobs that are finished, but there are little pieces missing and other people have the knowledge to finish this puzzle and I can't get that information out of them. Mm. And so this list that I want cleared is still sitting there a week, 2 weeks, however many weeks later, because I cannot control the other person to give me the other thing. The only time I don't get frustrated is if I have a task I can do from beginning to end and I don't need anybody else's help with it. That's one of the things that frustrate me. The other thing that frustrates me is when, and this is what happens with Ronnie and I, is when somebody gets upset at me and I don't know why. I don't understand why. Even if it has nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. I don't, that frustrates me no end. So, what are things that happen over and over again that continually frustrate you?
Ooh, I got that one.
Okay, come on.
When you continually try to be nice to a person and get along with a person and they refuse to allow you to do it by being a jerk. Yes.
Okay, very good. Very good. So that's something in your life that is a continual frustration. All right, and Ronnie, I think what you shared is a continual frustration, right? The physical pain and the issues with that. What about you? Is what you shared one of those things that happens once in a while, or what's a continual agitation or frustration in your life?
I don't know, just being kind of really being kind to people and going out of my way and then thinking that people that have appeared that way,
mm-hmm.
and then you see them in public and they act like they don't even know you.
Okay.
And you're like, well, if you're going to be like this on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
you'd be like this on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I see you on Monday, I go up and say, hi, how are you? It's
right.
Good to see you. Or they'll run and act like they don't know who you are.
Hmm.
You know.
That's bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of not the same thing. I was basically...
Yeah, you try to be nice to people.
Mine is focused on one person, but you try to be nice to somebody in there. No matter what you do, they can find something that's
like,
going to make them angry and lash out at you.
It's like I always just try to show kindness
mm-hmm.
to everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
And then some people may choose just to show kindness when it's convenient for them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's is one of my buttons.
Yeah.
That's very good. Very good. Chad, what about you? Continual frustration.
Someone asking for my advice or asking for my opinion or asking for my help.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I give it, absolutely refuse it. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to listen to any of it and do their own thing anyway.
Wow. Very good.
Yeah, irritates me to no end.
Very good. All right, Braden.
Whenever people think that a 16-year-old doesn't know what they're talking about.
Okay.
A lot of the time, I mean, they might.
Uh-huh.
But they just do, like, I don't know, their own thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good.
Like, my dad has a problem with that a lot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, very good. Aiden, what about you? What's a continual frustration?
when people come up and they instantaneously have an attitude with you.
Okay, very good. Very good. All right, excellent. Now, what I want to ask is, what is frustration? What is frustration?
The inability to control a situation.
Ooh, inability to control a situation. Why does it make us angry?
Because we're all control freaks, no matter what you say. It's not just me and Ronnie.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Thanks, Carrie.
All right. So basically, this is the basically the definition. I haven't gotten there yet. This is what anger is. Anger occurs when someone or something is blocking us from getting or keeping something we believe we need. Not just want, something we think we need. Think about that. We get angry when someone or something is blocking us from getting or keeping something we think we need. Well, let's take a look at the stuff that we've shared. Now, for you, let's say people thinking that a 16-year-old cannot know what they're talking about. The fact that that bothers you says that there is something in you that needs to have other people believe that you know what you're talking about. You follow what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay? Now, the same with you. You get frustrated and angry because you want to be accepted. Now, this is all of us. I mean, but that specifically, when someone has an attitude towards you, when you haven't done anything to them, that shows that you have a need for acceptance of others, especially if you haven't done anything to hurt them. Okay? And so, therefore, it makes you angry. Now, for you, same thing. If someone asks for your input and then they don't give it to you, what need is it that they're blocking you from getting when they don't take your advice?
What?
When they don't take your advice or they refuse your help, it frustrates you. Mm-hmm. It makes you angry. It's blocking something inside of you that you need. Why does it bother you if they don't do what you suggest?
I guess it would be the fulfillment to know that I had the answer and they refused it.
Okay. So you needed to have the answer. But even more so, you needed to be important enough to that person or be respected enough that they would take the help that they asked for.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's somehow dismissing you.
Mm-hmm.
That right. What you have to offer is not important.
Funny you say that. Actually, that did come out with a situation. You know, I wound up telling the person. I said, you know what? You don't respect me, and you don't respect another. You know, another guy. You know, and I'm about sick and tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it come out that way.
Right. You know? Okay. Very good. But you understand that it's not really. Think about it. It doesn't bother me that guy didn't follow your advice. It bothers you that he didn't follow your advice. So it's not the fact that he didn't follow your advice that makes you angry. It's the fact that you feel the need to be respected by that person, mm-hmm. and they're not. So you see, the frustration's not coming from what anybody on the outside did. The frustration's coming from something we want that they're blocking us from getting. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I have the need to finish this. Something in me says it's a matter of my personal sense of self-worth. If I am unable to finish the tasks in front of me quickly, better than everybody else, perfectly, if I don't, it bothers me because somehow my self-worth goes down a little bit. It's not, they don't care that they're not giving me this stuff. It's inside of me that this anger and frustration is coming out. Now, for you, I believe it's also the acceptance thing with you, too. When people are treating you that way, although you've been kind, or for me, the frustration when people all of a sudden are upset with me or they don't treat me well and I don't know why and I can't control it, that is also still, it's because I want to be accepted and loved as I am. And I can't control that person's love and acceptance of me. So I get frustrated or upset. So are we all together now? Do we understand the issue behind the problem of frustration? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Give me my answer.
Oh, go ahead.
You didn't give me
my answer. Oh, for you?
Yeah.
For you, it's that same thing about being treated poorly. It's the lack of respect. Mm-hmm. You need that respect and to be considered important. And that person refuses to give it to you by their actions. So why is... Now, this is the other thing. Now, I'll ask you this. When you are frustrated, what is your knee-jerk reaction? How do you respond? If you didn't control yourself, how would you respond when you're frustrated?
I could dog.
You say biting.
Fighting.
Okay.
Because of us, they could see bit.
Yeah, biting. Yeah, biting or striking out or barking. You know, it's a verbal thing, mm-hmm. right? Okay. What about you?
Passage.
All right, Aiden.
Yelling, screaming.
Yelling, screaming. What
fighting.
About you?
Fighting.
Fighting. Excellent. Okay.
I'm really not like a totally aggressive person unless it comes like. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you have to like really get under my skin like hard.
Okay.
To get me to like really lash out.
Okay, well it doesn't have to be lashing out, you know. Some people are passive.
Responding, you know, how we respond, you know. And for me, that is, you know, my loose tongue, mm-hmm. basically. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because my old nature would just fight you, you know. It's knock you out type yeah. thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. But when I become born again, what changed was I didn't want to knock nobody out, you know. But so I coped with verbal, you know, like, and learning that through, and this, you know, this, I'm storybook on all this, but that learning that they're intimidation instead of hurting people physically or whatever, you know, that if you like, you know, growing up the way I did, I could intimidate people sometimes just by looking at them, you know, and whether it was actions or not, you know, and so there's so many things that mm-hmm. stem from this whole thing of anger, mm-hmm. is pretty much where it is. I want to read this real quick and then I'll let her go back, but the Lord gave me this week. It's pretty amazing. It's not this way God works, right? But I've had a really tough week and I've been yakking at Penny and been, my tongue's been loose-lipped and saying stuff I, you know, can't control, just anger popping up again, you know. But I knew it's going to be a tough week because the Lord, the first of the week when I was having quiet time, gave me this in Ephesians 4. And y'all can go there later or remember, write it down. Ephesians 4:26. And this is Paul saying, be angry and sin not. And then he goes on, don't let the sun go down on your anger and do not give the devil an opportunity. Well, until I got a revelation from this, back when after the pushing the button thing, the Lord led me to this. He brought it back to my attention this week that he's saying it's everybody gets angry, okay? See, I started feeling guilty all the time, which made it worse. Because I never dealt with the situation or what made me get angry in the past, but now I'm having to face these things and why I'm getting angry. But I feel guilty because I get angry. And I'm like, what kind of Christian am I? What kind of man of God am I?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then I get what? Guilt and condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord showed me, Paul says, be angry and sin not.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a difference, isn't there?
Yeah. I found myself praying that this week, too. The same mm-hmm. thing. Was like, Father, yeah. let me not sin in my anger. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There's what it is Paul's saying.
It's okay to be angry.
We're all going to get angry. We're all going to fall short, right? But learning how to sin not in our anger is the key, because what it says, it goes on and give the devil the opportunity, because that's why marriages are falling apart. That's why there's so much strife in the world. And this is a very strong, important message today that Penny's, the Lord's laid on her heart for all of us, and even me all week. I didn't send her notes. I didn't know what she was going to minister on. And you didn't know that you read that this week, right? But God wants us to deal with these issues, and that one thing of anger is my hang-up, you know? And again, learning how to control that to where it's not into sin, but yet not be a control freak, is hard for me. There's a balance and all. But anyway.
Fine, good. No, that fits right in with what we're saying. But what I want to say is it's important for us to not respond to frustration.
Absolutely.
Frustration, we start with frustration and it turns into anger. But remember, the frustration is starting not because of what somebody else did out there, but because of something that's inside of you. You want that person to treat you differently, or you want that situation to happen differently, because somehow it either affects your significance or your security, how important you are to somebody. Okay, maybe it's it can threaten your safety. Okay, it depends, but the main thing is it's your job to pray and ask the Lord to reveal to you when you're frustrated, as you'll find in here. You need to ask God, why am I frustrated? What is the broken part in me that needs healing? Because remember, why do I have buttons? Okay, so that's what this is about. So we need to be realistic, and this is the first part. We need to, as Ronnie says, we're all going to get angry. We have to remember that the world does not go as we want, and frustration is a regular part of life, right? We expect life to work out the way we want it to, and when it doesn't, over and over again, we become frustrated. Now, how many of us, like Ronnie and I, we will have been married 14 years towards the middle of the month. You would think that the same things don't trigger us over and over again. And yet they do. He should expect that I'm going to do a certain thing. I should expect that he's going to respond a certain way. But every time it catches us like it's the first time. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like it's a knee-jerk reaction, which means we still have inside of us some hurt, some pain, or something that's broken that is yet to be healed. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. The word tribulation is from the word pressure. Pressure. You feel that you should have something, or be treated a certain way. We have pressure in our lives, and that pressure causes frustration. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. It talks about casting our anxieties on him because he knows we're going to have the anxieties and the frustrations. Now, frustration affects our relationships, our character, our reputation, and our witness for Christ. Therefore, we need to make it a priority to learn how not to let frustration control and destroy us and everything we love. For most of us, we do not react well to frustrations. We want to, and we think that next time we will, but we don't. We know what our response should be. James 1:19 says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Ephesians 4:26, God says that when we're angry, that does not give us an excuse to sin. But do you know that that scripture actually, Ephesians 4:26, is based on Psalm 4, 4 and 5. Be angry and do not sin. Listen to this. Ponder in your own hearts on your bed and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. And this is a four-step plan right there. When faced with frustration that would cause us to act out, God instructs us specifically to, number one, do not act out of the frustration. Do not sin. Do not act. Just stop before you go there. Two, be silent and think about what is frustrating you. If you can, at that moment when your button is pushed, stop and think, it's not the finger that pushed the button I need to worry about. It's what's inside, that painful sore spot. Three, sacrifice. Give up your right to respond angrily to the situation or person. Now this morning, what Ronnie said in that devotion was how many of us have given up our rights and completely and utterly submitted to God. One of the hardest things it is to do is to lay down our response when we're angry. But that is offering up right sacrifice. A sacrifice costs us something. That person did something to us, and at the moment we're thinking, they did this to us, instead of, I responded to them. Frustration is us responding to someone else. Has nothing to do with what they did. It's coming out of something inside of us. And we need to get in the habit of, when we feel the frustration coming on, not pointing our finger at them, but going, why? Why am I so frustrated? What do I think this person or this thing is blocking me from getting that I think I need?
That's good.
And last, trust in God to make things right, as well as to give you the supernatural power, the grace, to not respond in anger, but to respond in love. That's scripture. How we can deal with frustration, okay? Also, Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. That's another thing we think. If I don't protect myself, nobody will. But that's not true. God will fight our battles for us if it's truly a battle. Sometimes somebody truly wrongs you. But most of the time, they're just being themselves, doing something, and by accident, or out of their own frustration, they touched one of our sore spots. Right? Yeah. Ronnie and I are like, I'll push your button, he pushes my button, and we're just button pushing.
Yeah, I think that's the situation you're on.
Well,
this person thinks, I push her buttons all the time.
Go ahead.
What a lot of times is, and we don't realize it, like Karen, is that they're probably a lot like you in that same area. For me, and when I went to counseling and with the Lord on all this and had Joe speak in my life and all, and I took all the focus off of what was wrong with Penny and put it on what was wrong with Ronnie, I started getting the answers. They didn't feel good, and what I wanted to hear from the Holy Spirit. But for me, it was like it said, slowing down, because my old nature always wanted to react, you know, get the first punch before they got me.
Ooh, that's good.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the way we are. Mm-hmm. We got this wall up, you know, and we're just looking over just barely enough to see, you know, everybody else's problem, but we still got all of ours. And so that's what I would do, you know, when Penny would push my button. And, you know, and the fact was that when I started looking at why I was out of control, I started getting answers. But it's a hard thing, you know. It's a hard thing. Even to this day, you know, this last couple days, you know, we've had the same things rise up again. Here's the thing. Sometimes the other person or that does that don't know what's going on, and they just make it worse. Mm-hmm. You know, Penny would, her need was to understand why. And so I learned how to control it by breathing, taking deep breaths, and not responding. But that wasn't good enough for her. She would be like most would say, badger. You know, well, why don't you do this or what? And it would just make it worse. You see what I'm saying? And then, so then I would get to the point and I explode. Or I just respond. I might be doing good for a little bit, but then so it's a learned thing. It's not mm-hmm. just,
yes.
you're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
She said 14 years, you think we, but when you're that close in a relationship, whether, you know, and I'm just talking for us because we deal with each other day-to-day basis. You guys know that one that still does it with you. It could be a parent, it could be somebody in your family or a best friend or any of that. Doesn't matter. But it's a tough thing. I know I failed this week twice on it, at least. And so don't get discouraged. You know, just keep pushing through it.
No, thank you for sharing that. But we don't act as we should. Romans 7:18-19. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. This is big. Proverbs 25:28. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. A city without walls is a city that can be invaded by anything and anyone. It is unprotected and vulnerable not only to attack, but to dominion by the invaders. Lack of self-control means that anything and anyone can control you. Isn't that amazing?
So basically, in a sense, you're saying we should have some type of walls.
Well, no. What it's saying is that the lack of self-control breaks down our ability to act as we should. Okay? Basically, the Holy Spirit is the wall around us. Mm-hmm. Someone without self-control, where does the self-control come from? I'm going to get to this. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. You can't manufacture it. You can't make yourself be self-controlled. Mm-hmm. So when you... lack of self-control means you're giving into the flesh instead of submitting to the... instead of living in and submitting to the Spirit. So that lack of self-control means that when you're in the flesh and not the Spirit, the wall comes down and anything can control you. Anything anyone else says can press a button, can take over. Whether it might be lust, it might be anger, it might be pride, whatever it is, as soon as you lose self-control and you're in the flesh, the Holy Spirit that protects you and the grace that empowers you to act as a Christian just drops. Mm-hmm. And Satan can come in and flood you with every negative thought, every angry thought, every vengeful thought. He can consume you so you obsess over it. So do you understand how important it is not to lose control?
Mm-hmm. Give way to the devil.
Mm-hmm. James 1:2-4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What's steadfastness? Acting the same way all the time. Steadfastness is acting the same way, believing the same way. It's basically being the same way all the time. So if you look at this the other way around, you're either going to meet various trials, okay, and you're going to allow this testing of your faith so you become steadfast. No matter what happens, you're not changed, you're not moved, your actions don't change, your thoughts don't change. That's what trials, when you face them with faith, do. They make you stronger in the Lord. You believe the Lord more, and you don't get so thrown by it. Whatever happens, God's going to take care of it. But what's the opposite? If you don't face your trials with faith, you become the opposite of steadfast. Blown by every wind, wavering, unreliable, untrustworthy, inconsistent, anything can set us off at any time. So you understand the importance of us getting frustration in control. Okay? We can't control what's going on outside of us. We can't even fix ourselves on the inside. We need to ask God to fix us. At the moment when frustrations and trials come, it's a testing of our faith. Do we trust God in this situation to take care of the situation? If we do, if every time we meet this frustration, that we let go of it and go, God, I give this to you. You handle this. Think about it. If we do that every time, that's the definition of steadfastness. But if not, if we don't respond and give it to God and trust that God will take care of it, what happens? Instead, we lose control, the Holy Spirit walls go down, and all bets are off. We can respond in any way because then Satan can come in and control us and have us do anything. So we become somebody that people don't know how you're going to respond. You're a wild woman. You're a wild man. Right?
That's what frustrates me. Wild women and wild men.
Uh-huh. But then don't we won't we become that though when we give into it? And what kind of witness is that to Christ? When we respond differently every time something happens instead of always responding in faith. Galatians 5:22, we said that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The self-control we so desperately need cannot be manufactured by our own will. It's a fruit of the Spirit. In other words, we have to be abiding in the vine, submitting to God's Spirit, letting His characteristics and qualities flow through us in order to have self-control. If you want self-control, you have to let the Holy Spirit flow through you because that's the only way you're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't expect to conquer frustration if you are not willing to be submitted to God's Word and His Spirit on a daily basis. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7 says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. In the NIV, it says, love does not dishonor others. When we're frustrated, are we acting in a way that honors others?
Mm.
No, we're dishonoring. Does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. When we get upset, do we not think of everything else bad that person has ever done to us? Yeah. And we bring up a list?
Uh-oh. There
yep.
it is.
There
yep.
it is.
Rick Warren says, love is self-giving, not self-serving. We get irritated because we think everyone and everything has to revolve around us. Love concentrates on the other person. Jesus faced constant frustrations, but he never got irritated. He always made time for people. We get so preoccupied with our own things that we forget that people are the priority in life. Well, remember, the number one thing in Jesus' ministry was love and loving people.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when we get frustrated, all of a sudden we zoom back in on ourselves, and the only thing that matters is how we feel. Right?
Sure.
Well, one thing with Jesus, though, in these fruits, he was perfect in every one of them. And when his reaction was to, on any situation, it was a reaction of righteousness.
You know, whether it seemed to be a frustrating act, it was really a righteous, godly act that he was doing.
Right.
You know, Jesus is without sin. He is perfect in every way. Okay, so when we see as it is frustration, well, is it the frustration that we're talking about here, or is it a godly frustration?
Right.
Because I think there is a difference.
Most of the time, I think it's fleshly. The source of all frustration is that we're not getting our own way. We're being selfish and self-centered. In other words, we're living according to our flesh and not according to the Spirit. At that moment, all we care about is ourselves and how we feel. We don't even care about others or God at the moment we're angry. We don't. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." When we refuse to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, we affect more than the person with whom we are angry. We affect many in the body of Christ. It creates a ripple effect when you strike out, because normally the people affected strike out against you and others. Have you ever been in a bad mood and snapped at someone who had nothing to do with the issue? And then what happens to them? They probably turn around and snap at somebody else. We have to understand that our frustration actually starts crippling the body of Christ around us. That's why it's important for us to deal with it. Philippians, it also has the effect of turning our minds to all that is negative about the situation and the person. Colossians 3:15 says, "And be thankful."
I was about to say Colossians has a lot on this.
The remedy is to focus on what you do have, what is good, and to be thankful for that. Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." We've got to break the cycle that once we get angry, how we start focusing on all the negative and the evil. We have to remember the good things. Matthew 5:38-48, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well." Break the cycle of anger. I think when Jesus is talking about this, he's talking about breaking the cycle of anger. Someone angrily hits you, you respond, it just spirals out of control. Responding in anger to someone else's anger is like having a huge wave of water come over you and sweep you out to sea. When you refuse to give in and be swept away by the spirit of anger that is coming off of someone else, you stop the epidemic of anger and the loss of self-control in the body of Christ. If you give in, you will pull others into the sea of anger, and they in turn will pull others in. Or it's like fire. Someone on fire touches you, and you start burning, and you touch another, and they start burning. And before you know it, it's a wildfire out of control. But if you plunge yourself into the Holy Spirit and douse the fire, the waves of flames stop with you. Corinthians 16:13, "Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong." Luke 9:23, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now, this is the end that I want to go over. In summary, Lao Tzu, who is a Chinese philosopher, said this: "Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habit. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny." It starts with your first thoughts when something undesirable happens to you. At that moment, you can change your destiny and that destiny of those around you by making the conscious decision to follow the Spirit instead of the flesh. Always remember the ripple effect before you give in. So remember, Psalm 4 says, ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Think about why you are frustrated and consider that it is probably your own self-centeredness that is rising up in response. Take up your cross and deny yourself. Give up your right to respond for the sake of the people around you, your reputation, and your own character development. Trust God to give you His supernatural power, His grace not to respond, to not light that person on fire and start an uncontrollable wildfire. We have a dog named Jezzy. Jezzy, I was always afraid of her because you never knew when she was going to snap at you. Otherwise, she was really sweet. Well, I will always remember this. One day, I picked Jezzy up, and I was loving on her, and I'm thinking, okay, she's doing okay. And then all of a sudden, she snapped at me. And after she snaps, she comes up and she cowers because she didn't mean to snap. And I thought, this makes no sense. I'm not being nice to her. Why did she just try and snap at me? Well, come to find out, it was summertime. Her collar was on, and the collar had rubbed all the fur off, and it was raw under the collar. And I must have somehow brushed her collar so it rubbed it the wrong way, and she just went, ow!
Sore spot.
A sore spot.
Button.
Mm. Button.
A button. Sore
exactly.
Spot.
Exactly.
Yep.
And I had no way of knowing that there was a sore spot under that collar. So even while I'm thinking I'm being nice to her and stroking her, I was causing her pain, not by what I was doing, but because she already had a sore spot. That's how we are.
That's good.
That is good.
So what is making you snap? Be silent, ponder on those things, ask God to reveal it, and confess it to someone you trust so that you may be healed. Be diligent to keep a watch on yourself so you don't develop a sore spot again. Be free from the reactions of frustration. And then there were two things I just read in People. This was really good. Now, I don't like let go and let God. That just, I don't know, it just bothers me. Let God what? But there is a Zen proverb that says, let go or be dragged. I like that. Let go or be dragged. If you don't let go of that anger and frustration, it will drag you places you don't want to go, in the muck, in the mire. It will. You lose total control and you are dragged somewhere else.
It's like skiing. Has anybody ever skied? If you fall when you're skiing, you better let go of the rope, because if you don't, guess what happens?
It'll drag you.
It'll pulls you down deeper under the water.
Mm-hmm. I was drowned like that.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody's hollering, let go! And you're like, under the water. And you remember, oh yeah, and let go, and you come to the top.
That's what I did.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's the way it is.
But that's perfect. Yeah. A perfect example analogy. And great analogy. But let go or be dragged. You're going to be dragged into something and become someone you don't want. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, and this is just, this is Bette Midler, who she was talking about in her relationship. She says, you got to have compromise. Okay, you can have your way this time. I'll have my time maybe next time. But either way, it's not important. Is it important to destroy this relationship over something so small? But she goes, you have to be, that's just life. You have to be nimble and adjust. The toilet is leaking? Just adjust. I've learned that some things are not worth getting upset over, and that's a very big deal. Now listen to this. It's harder to get rid of the upset than it is to get rid of the problem. You know how once you get bent out of shape and you can't undo how you feel because you're so crazed?
Worked up.
Yeah.
Can't sleep.
Like sometimes I've done things to bother Ronnie, and I'll come back and I'll say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? He goes, yes. He says, but I can't stop how I feel right now. You have to give me time to let this deflate. Mm-hmm. So she says, some things are gigantic and some things are just annoying. Get a grip, you know?
Well, That's easy to say, but doing it's another thing.
It's a matter of habit.
Get a grip.
It's doing.
It's like telling an addict, just stop, you know. And it's like, but that's usually coming from somebody that don't know how the addiction is.
When she says get a grip, it's not get a grip of yourself. It's get a grip of the truth.
Of the situation.
Of the truth that we get bent out of shape
over
things. But it's really, at that moment, we're not thinking. It becomes a habit. It becomes a characteristic that we can easily be lit on fire at any moment. So getting a grip really means, and I believe this, we have to get a grip on our frustration. We have to make it a concerted, conscious effort to conquer this by the power of the Holy Spirit, because it undermines our Christian walk, our Christian witness, our relationships, everything, our peace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's consequences to our tongue, our actions.
Very good.
And as older we get in Christ and as Christians, the enemy, that's why Paul brought up here in Ephesians 4, you know, about giving the devil an opportunity, not just for you, but for those around you, like you're saying. People are always looking to be skeptics anyway, and looking for you to fail.
Right.
And say, yeah, I told him, I knew he'd eventually it would come out, you know. But truth is, we're all human, you know. Last week, Bug preached on judgment, you know, and we're so quick to judge others and the whole situation, and we all got our baggage. You know? We all got our stuff. But what we got to understand is, like in Ephesians 4 here, he goes on and says, but don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. It grieves God. It becomes sin. We don't call it that. Be angry and sin not. It becomes sin. And it's no different. It separates us from God. And like Penny said of the Psalms, it tears the wall of the Holy Spirit down to allow the enemy to come in our life and to have a foothold. And it's a stronghold, you know, that we have to let the Holy Spirit break off of us. It's not an easy thing, though. Those old habits don't just go away.
No.
And then you get married or you get in a relationship with somebody. And, yeah, you're both Christians. You're both want to serve God. But then what happens? All this stuff comes to head, don't it, in our life. And it doesn't matter who it is we're around or what. And that's a hard thing to break off and trust God with. I know what it has been for me and Penny learning how to deal with it. But that key right there is grieving not the Holy Spirit and understanding that everything has consequence when we do this. Allow that anger and strife and all these things to creep in.